Morning. How are you? Good. Keeping you up? Several years ago, a church held a Christmas pageant with a group of four-year-olds. Everything was going along pretty good until Mary and Joseph arrived at the inn. The four-year-old Joseph asked, "Do you have any room for us?" "No," replied the innkeeper. "The inn is full." "But it's cold outside. My wife is going to have a baby. Don't you have any place for us?" The little innkeeper paused for the longest time before saying, "Well, I'm not supposed to say this, but you can come right on in." So our Bible passage this morning says that Mary gave birth to her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So now down through the ages, there's been a lot of confusion about the Christmas story and misunderstandings about it. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Really? It was likely the latter part of September or the first part of October. And there was nothing about Mary riding on a donkey to get to Bethlehem. And despite what you may have seen as a child growing up, Jesus wasn't born in a red barn. It was a cave under a house. There's a guide in Israel that tells people that they think they found the most common agreement that they found the cave that Jesus probably was born in. And Jerome even translated the Latin Vulgate into that. But there's three kings. Well, they were never called kings. They were called wise men, and there wasn't just three of them. We don't know how many there was. And they didn't show up to see Jesus until 2 years afterwards. That just throws our whole thing off, doesn't it, when we look at the manger scene now? Most scholars take pleasure in telling us that Bethlehem was too small to have a Days Inn. One scholar noted that the Bible never mentions an innkeeper. In fact, it's possible that there wasn't even an inn at all. Recent study shows that the Greek word translated in Luke 2 is best translated as a place to stay. So, there goes the Red Roof Inn. Am I on? Am I? Okay, all right, I saw you going like this. Okay. You're just waving. Hello. But that's nice. It's totally irrelevant, but it's nice. And the reason it's irrelevant is because the main focus of the scripture was that there was no room for them. Whether it had an inn or a house, there was no room. And the question is, why? Why not? Why wasn't there any room for a very pregnant mother and her husband to stay? Now, granted, Bethlehem was crowded because in Luke 2, Caesar Augustus decreed that all the world should be registered, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. So everyone that was born in Bethlehem had to go and register back at the place where they were born. So the problem was, Joseph and Mary arrived late to the party, and the town was full. But then you would think that somebody like that little four-year-old in that play would have said, I'll give you a place. I'll let you stay in my place. But the thought was that if I give you a place, then I'm going to have to give up my spot. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there was no room anywhere. No one made room for Christ. And it's why? Well, I have a few thoughts on this. First, the reason there was no room was because Jesus didn't fit into their lives. John 1:11 tells us he came to his own and his own did not receive him. People rejected Mary and Joseph partly because they had their own lives to live. They had a place to stay. Mary and Joseph didn't. Tough. That was their problem. So we see the very first place where people were just too full of themselves, too busy to worry about Jesus, this little baby. So there was no room. And as I was studying this week, I realized that things really haven't changed all that much. Jesus is becoming more and more inconvenient in our culture. I went to a Sam's Club a couple of weeks before Halloween, and I was walking down the aisles, and I noticed that all of the Christmas decorations were up. This is before Halloween. And probably one of these days, they'll start decorating after the 4th of July, because Christmas is a big business day. It is one of the busiest sales events of the year. So I'm making my way down through the aisle, and I'm seeing all this Christmas stuff. And I thought, I ought to buy some stuff for the yard. And I thought, nah. So that was just a passing thought. But there were Santas, and there were snowmen, and there were reindeer. There were candy canes and lollipops. But something was missing from all those Christmas decorations. What was it? Jesus. There was no manger scenes. There was no wise men from the east. There was no star to light up the heavens. Even angels were off limits. And the music at the store, it was all about Santa, nothing about Jesus. So why would people do that? Why would they keep Jesus out of there? Because they might offend someone. But they offended me. But apparently I don't matter. So it's surprising because apparently someone figured out that the baby Jesus is dangerous, and they're right. That innocent baby born in a manger is a proclamation that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And the angel in Matthew 1:23 says, they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And you talk to people today, and you tell them that God is with you, and God loves you, and God cares about you, they don't want to hear that. That's just the way the culture. So people have begun to catch on that the baby Jesus would one day grow up to be a man who would say things that would make people mad, a man who'd be beaten and whipped and crucified to die on the cross. And all that would happen because Jesus had come to die for sinners, which means everybody is a sinner. People don't like to hear that. That's one of the words that you really shouldn't say in church. I still remember people never coming back to this church because I pointed out that this section is sinners, this section is sinners, and this section is sinners. And they didn't like that. That's what it says in the Bible. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The truth is inconvenient for people, for a world that would rather not be bothered. There is no room in their homes. There's no room in their lives for Jesus to be born. Now, we can either be upset over that or we can take it as a challenge. You do realize that we're beginning to face the same challenges that Jesus faced when he was here on earth. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. People don't get all excited about accepting him then. They never got excited about then. They're not going to get excited about accepting him now. And yet, the followers of Christ turned the world upside down, and they didn't decorate their yards. Right? They didn't have manger scenes out there. So how did they turn the world upside down? They did it by talking to people about Jesus. That's it. They told others why he meant so much to them in the same way. That's how we can change the world around us. And if we can use the Christmas story to do that, that's so much better. This is a great opportunity to tell people that the Christ child is here, that God is among us. So it's up to us. We have a challenge before us to propagate the gospel to all people. So the first reason there was no room in the inn was that Jesus didn't fit into their lives. The second reason is Jesus' message didn't fit into their thinking. His message was contrary to what everybody else thought. That's part of our problem today, is because people have preconceived notions and ideas about what religion should be, what God should be. And if you tell them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't fit into their thinking, and therefore they dismiss it. We could try to explain this a couple of different ways, but what occurred to me that what Mary was pregnant when she went into Bethlehem, and her pregnancy had a taint of illegitimacy. When she showed up in Bethlehem, Joseph was still betrothed to her, which means he was not her husband yet. And so they weren't technically man and wife. So a lot of folks believe she either was sleeping around or Joseph got her pregnant before he married her. So either way, no one wanted her in their home. There was no room because they saw her as a sinful woman. Wow. Sounds like today's culture, doesn't it? So from his birth onward, the question of who his father was everywhere. In those days, if a boy was illegitimate, his name was he was often named after the town that he came from. That's why you never hear Jesus being called Jesus ben Joseph, the son of Joseph. He was always referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. Didn't know that, huh? I didn't either. So in the midst of his ministry, his enemy snidely said in John 8:41, "We are not illegitimate children," implying that he was. So do you think that God knew what they were going to say and what they were going to do about this? Of course he did. God set this whole virgin birth thing up so people had no reason. Well, we come up with reasons. Oh, there can't be an immaculate conception. There's no such thing as a virgin birth. Tell that to God. He did it. And that's part of the gospel message. So think about who carried Jesus into Bethlehem. It was Mary, right? But Mary was rejected because the sin of the people they thought they saw in her life. People had no room for Jesus because they had no room for sinners. That made Jesus' job on earth almost impossible according to worldly standards, because nobody wants to consider themselves a sinner. I'm fine. You're fine. Just do whatever you want. But sinners were who Jesus came to save, and sinners were the ones that Jesus used to spread his message. The gospel was spread by people who were the imperfect and the rejected of the world. Back in December of 1792, a boy named Joseph Mohr was born in Salzburg, Austria. He was illegitimate. His daddy got his mom pregnant and then left. Children born out of wedlock were looked down on by the Austrians, and they levied a heavy fine on Joseph's mother. In addition, because of his illegitimacy, he was barred from attending school, learning a trade, or even holding a job. But Joseph loved to sing and eventually became a priest. One night, he wrote a song that you may know. "Silent night, holy night, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace." And "Silent Night" is one of the most popular carols that are sung today. It's been translated into over 200 languages. And God used that once rejected illegitimate boy to write a song to the praise of baby Jesus. Because that baby also faced rejection and was accused of being illegitimate. So my point is, God can use and will use anyone who's willing to tell others about Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or where you've been, God can and will use you if you let him. He will do that. That was kind of the theme of last night, is that we just need to just let go. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how deep your pit is. God is deeper still. And he loves you, and he's going to find you. He's going to bring you back. He's going to restore the love and the grace and the faithfulness that he once had with him. So that leads to the third reason I believe people had no room for Jesus. Babies are cute. You out here, I show you a picture of my great-granddaughter. No, you would, my baby's cute. Yes. But they really can't do anything for you. They gurgle and they smile. They eat, sleep, and poop. They don't do anything else. You need to feed them and you need to change them, but that's about it. But when it comes to Jesus, a lot of people don't have room for him because they don't see him as doing anything in their lives. There's a lot of people who won't become Christians because they don't think that they need him. Our job is to let people know that you need a Savior. We confess that this morning in our prayer time. Lord, we need you. We need you in everything. I read a story about a man who moved to Florida, and he told of a couple that he's been trying to witness to and talking to Jesus down in Florida. And he noted that they were nice people. But that was a problem because they didn't think they needed Jesus because they were nice people. And they believed that Jesus would accept them because of their niceness. John says he came to his own and his own received him not. So why wouldn't they receive him? Because they didn't need him. They had other ways to get into heaven. And that's what the next few verses of John 1 tells us. As many as received him, this is John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So John's very clear. Some people thought that they could get to heaven because of blood. In those days, if you were born of a Jewish family, you were a Jew. You were part of the old covenant because of the blood of your ancestors. But John is explaining you can't become a Christian that way. It's impossible to get to Christ because of your blood. The only way you can become a Christian is by accepting Christ. Period. John says that you can't get into heaven by the will of flesh. A person can't decide that they'll accept God by how nice or righteous they are. A lot of people think like this. They believe that if they do enough good things, God will be impressed and he'll allow them into his heaven. But then their own self-righteousness will get them in. In fact, they deserve to be saved, and God couldn't keep them out if he wanted to because they bought their own ticket. You think about that and how ludicrous that is, but that's how some people think. Thirdly, John says that you can't get into heaven by the will of man. A lot of churches teach that you can make the choice for your children, that you can come forward and ask that my children be saved, and because of that, that they become saved. Spending time in a garage is not going to make you a Ford or Chevy or Model T. A lot of people believe that if you get your baby sprinkled, that they automatically become Christians. But John says you can't do it that way. The will of a parent or grandparent or spouse can't get anyone else into heaven. It's all about your personal dedication to Christ and your personal decision to belong to Christ. So becoming a Christian is very simple. All you have to do is ask him to enter your life, repent of your sins, tell him that you need him as your Savior, and believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross. You have to confess that. You have to give him your life. You have to make him Lord of your life. And you have to decide to be buried with him in baptism and rise up to a new creation, you and nobody else. So let's review real quick. There was no room in Bethlehem for Jesus because he didn't fit into people's lives. He was inconvenient. His message didn't fit into people's thinking because he came for the lost. And they rejected him because they didn't think he could do anything for them. So one last thing. There was no room in Bethlehem because God planned it that way. We think that God went through this elaborate this elaborate plan of impregnating a woman with his own seed and doing all of this, and he didn't think about what people would think. He planned it this way. Jesus was born in an obscure town named Bethlehem for a reason, because it's still a powerful story that resonates today. You remember the story of the 4-year-old innkeeper? The total unfairness of Mary and Joseph being turned down for a place to stay is so powerful that even children rebel against it. Right? That's unfair. Why not let them in? And every part of this story speaks to children and to adults to this day. A baby born in a lowly manger. And that's the way God intended it. I have a poem that sums it up perfectly. I am so glad he was not born in some rich palace bed. I am so glad to know it was a lowly place instead. A place where soft-eyed cows and sheep were sheltered and were fed. For to the country born of earth, a stable will ever be the wholesome place where night comes down with its tranquility. A place of heart's ease and content for all who choose to see. And so I like to think of him first opening his eyes in that good elemental place beneath the friendly skies, that the men of fields could find him there, as well as the great and wise. And that's the point. If Jesus had been born in a royal palace or a nice home, he wouldn't have been as approachable as he was as a baby in a lowly manger inside of a cave. In the manger, the child God was approachable and accepting. So the question this morning is, do we have room in our hearts and in our lives for the Christ child today? Do you have any room for him in our life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you had a plan all along from before the creation, that you would send your son into this world to become one of us as humans, that his birth was so unique and so wonderful that today it still draws people to you. Lord, we continue to pray for those people around us, those that shun him, that reject him, that don't want to hear anything about this. But we pray that you would remove those scales of darkness and the chains of bondage around their lives, that you would draw them to yourself, that this would be a great time to accept Christ as their Savior. Then every Christmas that comes up, they would realize that they've been bought by the blood of Christ because he was born lowly in a manger. And we thank you for what you've done and what you're doing and for what you're going to continue to do here in this place. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.